Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I feel very, very good about my Marvel prediction.
What? Brie Larson?
Yes.
Captain Marvel? Yes. Saving the world?
Yes.
Me too.
Why are you saying it like it's obvious?
Because she's the strongest superhero.
That's not why. You got to think a level deeper. You got to think a level deeper.
Okay.
It's because the men can't win. The men can't save the world. It's not how it goes.
Okay. I'm down with that.
We'll discuss more later.
Okay.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm not.
Welcome to Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. I am very pro-woman today, so if you don't like girls, bye-bye.
Yes.
I watched Beyonce last night, Homecoming, so you can't tell me nothing.
Amen. Phenomenal woman.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm doing all the woman things today.
Yeah, good. Amen.
I actually performed Phenomenal Woman, the poem, by Maya Angelou, at the Black and Gold, I believe it is, Alpha Pi Alpha fraternity pageant in college. Fun fact about Joy Taylor. Yes.
I think so.
Since we're discussing
a Maya Angelou poem,
Black Greek life.
Yes, at a fraternity.
At its highest level.
How'd that go over?
It went well. I mean, I don't have a performance talent.
Like, who else? What did someone else perform?
Other than being annoying in front of a microphone, right. So I figured I'd do a poem. Because most people are singing or dancing, and I don't do those things. I mean, I do them, but not well enough to, you know.
But I want to know the spectrum, because you did Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou, and someone else did what? Like Sierra Goodies?
Sang.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, it was
like
a sophisticated pageant. Oh, okay. It was a respectable pageant.
Okay, so I didn't know if you were on brand, off brand. I just want to know.
What do you mean? I have all spectrum of things.
Yeah, of course.
Both ratchet and sophisticated, okay? That's all. That's the only way to be.
Yes.
But no, it was very sophisticated.
Okay.
Congrats, then. Thank you. Anyway, that kind of took a derailing. But there's a lot of Greek life stuff to discuss later,
yes,
anyway.
Yes.
So... NFL draft this week. We're going to have D'Angelo Hall on to discuss that.
Yes.
Kyler Murray's basically the only story of the draft, although the Raiders have promised a big surprise. Whatever
John
that means.
Gruden,
I don't
Mike
know.
Mayock.
You know what? I love it because I'm here for content. So they're not going to do any winning, but they are going to provide us with excellent content, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, be grateful. It's all about gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Russell Westbrook because it obviously is the NBA playoffs and things are not going so well for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Odell is getting into it with the Giants still. The Lakers. We'll talk about Avengers.
Yes.
I'm very anti-fat shaming. Steve Kerr has a problem with Westbrook talking the way he talks to the media, which I have lots of thoughts on.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this was not my choice, but I was forced into this. And very reluctantly, we are going to discuss Russell Wilson and Sierra. But
Ooh.
I wanted on the record that it was not my choice. We have a collaborative effort around here. And
yes.
Sometimes I concede to what the room,
you know,
says. And the room recommended that we talk about it. I vehemently disagree, but I will do it. Because I believe that we are a team.
No, but when Russell Wilson gets his hair braided, you talk about it.
And
when,
I don't
when he
talk
videotapes
it
and then narrates it,
but
you
talk
no
about
it.
But there's no I in team and there's no I in joy.
Amen.
There is an I in win, though, so don't forget that. But let's get started with D'Angelo Hall. All right, thank you, D'Angelo Hall, for joining us. You've been on the hang with me.
Yes.
And Brandon was in the room.
Yeah, official hype man.
During the hang. But you've never been on the podcast, so we thank you for joining us.
Yes, exactly.
It's the NFL draft week, and the main story, really kind of the only story, this is a meat and potatoes draft.
Hell yeah, it is. Good.
I like it.
Yeah.
But it's
we gotta get our season.
It's in the trenches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this draft. It's not the flashy quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the big guys for the most part, except for Kyler Murray, who is coincidentally not a big guy. I'm not sold on Kyler Murray.
Tell me why you aren't sold on Kyler Murray.
Okay, here's why.
Okay.
That's a good start.
The main reason I'm not sold on Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. Actually there's two reasons. One,
well, let me ask you one more question real quick. Were you sold on Baker?
Yes.
Last year, you were sold on Baker.
Yes.
All right, now go ahead.
Okay, I was sold on Baker, and one of the reasons, the second reason, is the reason why I was sold on Baker and I'm not sold on Kyler. So I'll start with the first reason. Where's everybody else at? don't the Cardinals the only team to talk about Kyler Murray? Like, where is there? There's not.
That's fair.
Well, you know what though? What is going to continue to happen is teams are drafting their quarterbacks. So even now in the top five picks, you got Arizona, who really already drafted a quarterback last year, right?
Right.
Two, you got who? Oakland?
Yeah.
I think Oakland had – no, I'm sorry.
The Niners are the second pick.
I'm sorry,
the
49ers.
Jets and the Raiders.
I'm tripping. Yeah. 49ers had – they have their quarterback, right? Jimmy G. Jets have their quarterback.
Yeah, most of the teams in the top 10 have their quarterbacks.
Yeah, and so eventually it's going to come a point where teams are going to have their quarterbacks, and if another guy's a better option – do you take it? Knowing at some point you got to pay the guy you already have more money.
Right.
That's why hearing these Raider reports, I can see it happening. Like, if the Cardinals say, hey, we don't want to trade Josh Rosen, we like him, we're not getting enough value for him, cool. If Kyler drops, I can totally see John Gruden saying, look, let's take Kyler. Obviously, he's a different kind of quarterback. John kind of feels like he has his – you know, finger on the pulse of what it takes to be a successful quarterback in this league with his quarterback guru camps those things, which I ain't sold on yet.
Right.
But
I've
yet to see him develop a quarterback. But if he does that, you now clear the books. If they were able to do that last year, maybe they keep Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Because they can afford him. Because they're like, to me, that's the formula. If I can draft a quarterback and have every other piece around him good enough.
Right.
Then that saves me the money, because once you start paying guys $25 to $35 million a year, I mean, that's Russell Wilson. Like,
no,
that's the problem they have now in Seattle. That's the problem they had in Green Bay. That's the problem Minnesota's going to run into when they got to start paying some of those other guys because they paid Kirk Cousins so much money. Like, I love Kirk Cousins. I love his game. But the reason it wasn't going to work in Washington, because we weren't good enough to pay you $30 million and still put guys around you. Like, if Kurt would have came in and took $20 million and took a hometown discount, then we could have probably tried to make something work. But Kurt had felt really disrespected at that point, and I understand. Anytime you make a dude play under two franchise tags in a row, after the first year, you like, prove it. And I prove it, and then you telling me to prove it again? Oh, yeah, I'm done.
It's
I'm done
like
with y'all.
A true defensive team guy who knows that when a quarterback walks up there all gully and signs a contract with all that money – they're the only person eating. Because if you win, everyone eats.
Once you get to a point, you have to pay the quarterback. Like, you have to have a quarterback. Yeah, so it's not on the quarterbacks. If someone puts that contract in front of you, you're going to sign that before they take it out of the room.
You're right.
Okay? But
you're right.
I agree with you.
You're
most
right.
teams are now starting to do the L.A. Rams style, where you don't have to pay Jared Goff so you can pay everybody else. Or Kansas City Chiefs, so you don't have to pay Patrick Mahomes, you can pay everybody else.
Because
or
nobody's
the Dallas Cowboys.
Have a wife making $50 million like Tom Brady, to where you can take that discount and feel
And I appreciate
just as
you
good.
Saying that, because it really bothers me when people say that doesn't matter. It does matter.
Yes.
Yeah, it absolutely
it does
matters.
Matter. It's not. It's nothing. It's no disrespect. Okay, it's cool. All right, women can make the money too. It's no disrespect to Tom Brady that she makes money. All right, but she does make money, and they are married, and I'm pretty sure they have some shared bank accounts at some point. I don't know how they do their money.
I might still be playing too for league minimum.
But I'm pretty sure. You know what I mean? They divvy it up somehow where they live in and everybody doesn't have that option. All right, so that is a thing, because everyone's like, oh, don't talk about his wife's money. No, we are going to talk about that.
Wait, why don't you like Kyler? Why don't you
tell me? Okay, so my second reason.
I was like,
I agree with everything you said. But my second reason, and the real reason why I'm skeptical of him, is not how big he is, because I don't even understand when people say that. Like, did he shrink before? Because he's always been this size. So I don't know why this has become a thing. Mm-hmm. He's always been small. When did that change? Wasn't planning on growing. My thing is, he doesn't have that much experience starting in college. Baker had 4 years starting.
Yeah.
So he came into the league with way more experience.
Yeah. All right, I'm with you. Now, if I can play devil's advocate, can I say, hey, Joy, Kyler did all of this, which surpassed Baker's numbers, with 1 year of actually playing. And to a lot of football coaches and football evaluators, they look at that as a positive. Like, Baker had 4 years to put those numbers up that won him a Heisman Trophy. Kyler did it in basically, you know, because of learning. He learned all of that in 1 year, essentially. And his numbers were better than Baker's, who has that experience. So I feel like I can coach this dude up to learn a little bit more than a guy who's already has played 4 years of college football.
Right, but my question would be, Baker and Kyler Murray are two different quarterbacks. Baker is known for being able to sit in the pocket, be incredibly accurate. Mm-hmm. He's not necessarily someone you think of the running around. Kyler Murray is somebody that runs around, which we know is cute. Like, that can work for a season or two. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you got to sit your ass in the pocket behind the big boys and dish it out. That's just facts. Yeah, like, you have to be able to do both. Drops. Being able to run is a bonus. But, like, comparing him to Russell Wilson, like, stop. Russell Wilson is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, relax. Stop comparing him to him. Russell Wilson can do both. Mm-hmm. He gets credit for being able to run and mm-hmm. improvise, but he also can sit in the pocket. So that's what I would say. Can he do that?
See, yeah. Like you said, I haven't seen a big enough sample size to put all my chips in one basket and say, he can do it. Now, he's shown me certain parts of his game that has me like, yeah, he can do it. Because I've seen him sit in that pocket, like pressure coming down on him playing Alabama, and he's just sitting in the pocket waiting on his read. And I'm like, wow, he's mm-hmm. really patient in the pocket. Then I've seen certain times where it's nobody even pressuring him, and he's getting out the pocket trying to make a play.
Right.
You know, and so that does bother me, but like you can coach that. You can teach that. To me, you can't teach this dude's ability to win on every level he's played on. Mm-hmm. And I know Freddie Kitchens always said the reason they wanted to draft Baker is when he walked in a room, like, guys gravitated towards him. He was a natural leader.
Right.
And that, to me, is a question mark about Kyler.
Yes.
I don't know enough about that.
Yes.
Because Kyler's background and Baker's background are totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the Baker background of being the underdog, the walk-on,
right.
the battle back, the scrappy guy, mm-hmm. the chip on your shoulder. Like, Kyler is like my kids, you know, they're spoiled kids. Their dad was this guy and da-da-da-da-da and the hype of that, and I'm going to be all in my kids' business too. Mm-hmm. And so that scares me. And, you know, it scares me with my kids. And so, you know, I can totally see why someone wouldn't be in on him, but I just think he's such a talent. And at that quarterback position, it's so hard to find a guy that can change the game. Like, he potentially can change the game.
Yeah, but drafting on talent at the quarterback position gets a lot of teams in trouble.
You've
seen that. My main reservations for him come from systems. And you talk about how good Oklahoma has been over the years.
Yeah.
That's somebody who walked into a system that was already rolling with Baker Mayfield. And when it comes to NFL teams starting anew, like the Cardinals need to, you need a guy like Baker Mayfield who's going to gravitate and pull, be a glue within the team to help getting things started and getting going. Because what is Kyler Murray going to do walking into a program that was the worst team in the NFL last year, when I don't even know what he would look like getting on the worst team in college football last year?
and that's my problem, too. Like, I think he deserves to go one. I just don't necessarily see the fit being Arizona. I mean, the fit's Arizona because Coach Kingsbury raved about him in high school and wanted to recruit
coach.
Him and
right.
wanted him. And this, the offenses are very similar. But when you think about the Cardinals team and them already having a quarterback that they moved up the draft last year, them having so many other holes around that team and, you know, on that team that they need to fill, and especially not having got the value of what they thought they were probably going to get for Josh Rosen when they were initially having those talks, I think it's crazy to just say, hey, Josh Rosen, peace out. Let's give him away, you know, because we're going to draft this kid. And I think you drafted Josh Rosen for a reason. Let's see if he can play. If not, in 3 or 4 years, like I said, it doesn't help Coach Kingsbury at that particular point, because if he feels like Kyler can operate his offense better, that's the coach you picked. You got to give him a chance to bring in the kind of guys he needs to help win.
Right.
But if I'm a GM there, I'm like, Cliff, you figure it out. You figure it out with Rosen, and we're going to draft Bosa. I want the best player, a home run hit, and a pass. I mean, just a guy who I know consistently can go out and make plays. It's not going to be hard for Bosa to make a Pro Bowl.
Right.
12 to 15 sacks. Mm-hmm. The pedigree's there. He's been learning from his brother. His brother showed you he can do it.
Pedigree.
Yeah. And so, to me, it's going to be a lot harder for the quarterback. But if I'm the Cardinals, like I said, I'm not drafting him. But I do think the kid deserves to be number one. He is, I think, the best player in college football, without a doubt. Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I've been saying that this entire time. I don't think that Josh Rosen, it's kind of like the Jared Goff situation. Like, everyone said Jared Goff was a bust.
Right.
And Jeff Fisher. Yeah, and then it turns out Jeff Fisher's just Jeff Fisher.
And right. when Sean McVay took that job, I asked Sean, like, bro, are you sure this is what you want to do? This dude looks horrible. And Sean's like, no, I'm telling you, D-Hall, I think I can get him. I think I can get him right. And I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, he looks god-awful. Like, he just, like, you can coach up a lot of things. You can't coach up. He looked scared.
Right.
Jared Goff looked scared.
He looked like too big.
There was no way he could play football. And now you watch him 2 years later, you know, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And that's coaching and a system and a culture.
If Kingsbury is the guy, you would hope that no matter who you gave him, he would be able to make it work.
That's a good Sean McVay impersonation, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you because I think that Josh Rosen didn't have a chance last year.
Yeah, he did.
And speaking of Josh Rosen, because there was a report that they may actually keep both of them.
Yeah.
Which, like, here's the thing. Cardinals can do whatever they want to do, all right? It's not going to affect my life. But the idea that you would think it's a good idea to go into a training camp with a second-year quarterback and a rookie quarterback, what kind of formula is that for success? Like, if you have more than one quarterback, you have no quarterback. Yeah. Now, if you had a veteran quarterback who you were keeping there to try and teach the young guy how to be a vet, how to navigate the league, how to just be a professional football player, that's one thing. Like the Giants, okay? Mm-hmm. Josh Rosen would be a good fit with the Giants situation.
Yeah.
Not a good fit with Kyler Murray. Have you been in a situation like that where there's been multiple quarterbacks?
Well, you know, in Washington 1 year, I'm trying to think who the guy was. The guy might have been, and I say the guy just meaning the veteran. The veteran might have been, I don't know, Rex Grossman. So not a starting caliber backup.
Right.
But we had an older backup. And then we traded a bunch of picks, got RG3.
Right.
And then later in that draft, we drafted Kirk Cousins as a fourth rounder. Now, that's totally different. A number two or three pick was RG, and Kurt was a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
That's a lot different than the number 10 pick being in your room and the number
one overall
pick.
Right.
I think they kind of knew what the hierarchy was in that room. It was RG's room. Kurt was going to be groomed as the backup. But then at some point, Ty turned a little bit, and Kurt started saying, hey, I might be better than this guy.
I was about to say, right? I might be better.
RG went on as a rookie to win Rookie of the Year, take us to the playoffs, you know, all those good things, and then suffered an ACL injury, kind of came back a little too early, missed a couple games, and Kirk was able to step in the absence of RG missing those games. And Kirk showed, wow, you know, like, this dude can play. He's a little turnover prone, but he can play.
Right.
And so just the animosity to guys who were drafted in the same draft class – fighting for the same position, like, that's a tough dynamic to work out in a room on a team. And
you're gonna have
certain guys who gonna like Kyler just because they like Kyler, like what he did in college, and then there's gonna be certain guys who are gonna be Josh Rosen guys. And it's no quicker way to divide that locker room than to bring Kyler Murray in there and also keep Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And not only the draft value you have right now with that number one pick. Like, if you even have any inclination that Josh Rosen can play football, which we're starting to hear now that Kingsbury is saying, wow, Josh Rosen's kind of impressing me. He's impressing me. If that's the case, you got to coach him up. That's why you're getting paid. Coach him up and get other players around you, because you're absolutely right, Joy. If you don't have players, that's why everybody wanted to bring Coach Saban to the NFL. I mean, you can bring Coach Saban to the NFL if you want to. He was already here. He didn't do very well. When you have the best players in the world or in America, all five stars, hell, I could coach Alabama.
Yeah.
And I don't, and guys, I don't need $10 million a year either to do it. just throwing that out there, Tuscaloosa.
Right.
I can coach Alabama with all them five stars, man.
Yeah. Now, that dual quarterback room complicates things a lot. Like, I had buddies that played for the 49ers when Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick were really going. And they were going to the playoffs. Like, I called him up. Like, hey, who y'all want? He's like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, whoever's going to win the most games. Mm-hmm. But in that, when things aren't going as well, the defensive side of the ball is like, all right, man, so they're going to put the They gonna put our boy in? They gonna let him spin? Because yeah, so I can't keep going
first,
out there.
We definitely the first one. Every yes, four, sir.
Yeah. No, it's a disaster. Right.
Yeah, it's just poison and it just leaks in because the ideas and you start because there is that spark that Baker gave that yeah. Thursday night football game. Yeah. That's real for
football teams.
Everybody
guy.
Starts playing absolutely. Better because it's like, oh, okay, we in this thing.
And I'm a Tyrod guy. Tyrod grew up in my area.
Me too.
I know him. I love him. That's like my little brother. But when Baker got on that field, it was different. Everybody played different. Mm-hmm. They all elevated their game, and that's what you got to have. You got to have a guy who can make everybody else bring their game to another level. And, I've heard some question marks about Kyler as far as that aspect mm-hmm. of him, and that's very concerning because as to have a quarterback and a undersized quarterback, you got to be a great leader.
Right.
And that's what Russell Wilson has. You said he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer because he is a great leader and winner. He knows how to win. He knows how to communicate with his teammates.
You
can't undervalue that. I did see that.
Okay, what did he sound like?
Did
it sound like Russell Wilson? Did it sound like a clone?
I didn't hear the volume, though, because I was just watching. But somebody said, he's over there changing his voice.
Sound like Trick Daddy.
It sounds like he's talking through one of the ransom apps. On bring the money over here.
What did he say, though?
It was.
Just please don't play it. It just makes me so uncomfortable. I don't want to hear that.
Maybe you put it too tight. What is he saying? I don't know.
Matter of fact,
This is how
he spoke.
His
whole thing has changed up. Yeah. I don't want to talk. I just can't. It makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. It really does. Speaking of Baker, though, so everyone's freaking out about the Browns. I said Baker should start from the beginning of the season. I like Tyrod, too. I don't know why Buffalo got rid of him.
True that.
But I thought Baker should have been starting from the beginning of the season. Obviously, they've added Odell. Mm-hmm. They have Jarvis Landry. They've got a whole bunch of talent. All the things we're talking about Arizona needing, a bunch of talent, a bunch of guys, they have now. Yeah. And they have expectations for the first time in 1,000 years.
And a new coach like Arizona.
And a new coach who has no experience.
Mm-hmm.
What are you actually expecting from the Browns this year? Because I feel like with all this going on,
I really kind of feel like
they got to make the playoffs or it's a disappointment.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they have to make the playoffs is a disappointment because this was a franchise who, until last year, hadn't won a game in, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And so, a long time. Mm-hmm. And so my expectations for them, just because I think they're a really good football team, it's to probably win the division. And I think it's my expectation for the simple fact that Baltimore, I'm still not sold on how they can progress Lamar Jackson as
team.
A passer.
Rebuild.
And I just don't know if the gimmicky style of play can continue to win them football games. It did win them football games last year, which kudos for that. But I just don't know moving forward.
Yeah.
You think about Pittsburgh and all the weapons they lost. Mm. I say all, really, Le'Veon and AB, which is a lot of offense, a lot mm-hmm. of production. And now you got Juju having to learn what it feels like to get double and to be the lone guy on that offense that guys are really honing in on and not being robbing, making plays.
Right.
And so how is that dynamic going to work? And so, I'm not writing Pittsburgh off and
didn't
Baltimore
Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati is bad.
I got you. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. Zach Taylor has, oh my goodness. That not every job is a great job. I understand as a quarterback coach, you want your opportunity to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, that was the quickest way to be four and done, right? He gonna get 4 years, maybe three, and his ass is out of there.
Bengals stuck with Marvin Lewis for 30 years.
I'm sorry I brought him up. I really am. They are the new Browns of that division.
Oh my goodness, they're awful. But I think Cleveland, just by virtue of that division, kind of going through some changes.
Right.
Now, if Pittsburgh's still intact, even if Baltimore still kind of is grooming Lamar Jackson and Flacco is still there and Suggs is still there and some of those guys, I think it's a different dynamic. But because of all the losses that other teams have kind of taken, I think it is the Browns. I think it's their division to lose. And it's funny to say that because they ain't been nowhere close to being in the conversation of winning the division. Mm-hmm. And so, but I, you know, I think you'll see mild-mannered, calm Odell, and by virtue of just, I said this today on some of the shows, like I was considered a cold, knucklehead, cocky, arrogant. I mean, I would cuss out my coach just as quick as a player that I was going against. And so I understand a little bit of the Odell, just the craziness that involves
him. Frustrations and stuff.
Yeah, that involves him as a player on the field and being his teammate or his coach.
Right.
And so I'm a little bit more sympathetic to that. But I also know what it's like to have a guy on your team that you feel like no matter what has your back or understands where you're coming from. And I think Odell for the first time has that in a, since college. He has that in Jarvis.
Yeah.
These are guys who, I mean, are thick as thieves, are like brothers. Families hang out. I mean, they are as close gets. Mm. And so I think he'll be that calming factor that will be able to keep Odell in check and understand, hey, look, man, this is for all the marbles. This, like, we need you right now. Like, let's go. And I think they're going to feed off each other, and just the energy that I feel like I'm going to be able to see with that offense, man.
So excited to watch that.
I can't wait.
Finally, though, speaking of energy on offense, where he came from, so the Giants seem to be sticking with Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Now I was.
He got film or something on somebody in New York. I mean, he was in my draft class.
Like,
he's about 40 years old. He ain't really made a play in a while. I know he won two Super Bowls. Oh, they can never take that. They will never take that from us. Oh. But I tell you what, man.
So
he
I was gonna
been
ask why you
there.
Think they're sticking with him, but I think Bruce got your answer.
I mean, I don't know. It makes no sense. And now I'm hearing they don't want Dwayne Haskins. He's not their kind of guy, is what I'm hearing. So it's looking like they're not gonna go with a quarterback again.
Yeah, he's not 42.
But what could it possibly hurt just to draft the next guy? Like, why are they so blocked on the fact that there has to be a next guy?
I think they feel as though to not, I don't want to say ruffle any feathers with Eli, because I mean, you got to be oblivious to the world and not think as a 38-year-old quarterback going into your 16th season at some point it's going to be time for somebody else, right?
Right.
Like, you got to be oblivious to life to not understand,
like,
that.
Like, it should be a concern for his family.
But,
that
yeah.
He
but you heard
that.
Ben He's say, you heard Ben Roethlisberger say, who was in that same draft too, like, if they draft this dude, Mason Rudolph, I think, was.
Yeah.
I'm not teaching him nothing.
Yep.
Yeah, like, well, Ben, we can do a whole podcast on Ben.
But I'm just, I say that to say, like, Eli has to know at some point that the next guy is getting ready to be his turn.
But
he should be
Ben,
in there.
Ben is playing at a high level still. So I, even
That's
though
true.
I do
ben
think that it's wrong
a,
he said that, he's still
level.
Playing at a high level. Eli is not.
Yeah, but to me, I don't even know if it falls on Eli. I think it just falls on that front office. I think they're disillusioned. I mean, they got to be tripping because when I watch Eli play, like, he looks like Jared Goff looked in year one.
Yes.
Like, he looks scary.
Yes.
He looks like one of those blow up wiggle guys outside of the
and he's never been very mobile.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Eli to me, man. Like, he has two rings and he'll probably be a Hall of Famer too, but man, he just. I don't know.
Hey,
if
you know
his
what I'm
last
saying?
Name wasn't Manning, man, I don't know if we'd be making all this.
No,
hype
no, 100% no. That's 100% no. That has to play a
Fresh
role.
Out
in
of Ole Miss.
It just doesn't. It doesn't all add up.
It's gonna be interesting.
Well, thank you for joining us. This was
no
fun.
Problem,
lots of good
you.
Insight
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Next time I gotta get a short sleeve shirt on.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
in
yeah,
sweating coming
out with
the
casual
show,
stuff.
Y'all all looking good.
we should have like an outfit just for people to change into.
Absolutely. I'm in here sweating.
Yeah, it is very warm in here. We apologize.
But I am having a blast.
Appreciate you. We gotta get you on again.
Yeah, next time we have you on. I'll give you a warning ahead of time that you can bring, you know.
Yeah, please.
Bring your casuals.
Please. Maybe I'll take that water now. I turned the water down earlier. But I'm hot.
We got you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With it. Come on. With it. Quit.
What?
With it.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
What am I winning or quitting today?
NBA All-Star Russell Westbrook is currently trailing the Blazers 3-1 in the first round of the playoffs and doesn't want to talk about it or stop shooting. Now OKC is facing their third first-round elimination in 3 years. Joy, Russell Westbrook is too stubborn to win an NBA championship. Win it or quit it.
You know what? I think I gotta win it. I gotta win it.
I'm and happy, that doesn't but also
change.
Sad.
It doesn't change how I feel about Russell Westbrook, because Russell is one of my favorite players in the NBA, if not my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I know that kind of contradicts my whole I like winning thing, yeah. But I also like being entertained,
right.
And he is an entertaining player.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that what's happening is taking away from him as a overall player. I think he's gonna come back next year and have a relentless regular season, and he may average another triple double. But what's happening in the playoffs for Russell is pretty bad. You can't have this many first round exits and still be in the conversation with the best in the league. And unfortunately, he's going up against Damian Lillard, who is just balling right now,
and an ultimate teammate. He's not wasting time, because Russell Westbrook's talking about making the right play, and that's why he's passing the ball and moving around. The passes aren't leading to points. Does that make sense?
Well, the problem is everything that's happening on the court is really bad for Russ. He's averaging this postseason, he's averaging his second lowest scoring average, 21.3 points. Mm. His lowest field goal percentage, 36.3 points. We all know what's happened to his free throw shooting. He was 5-for-21 in game 4, 0-for-7, showing in the second half. That's the worst of his playoff career. And a loss in game 5 will mean 3 straight first round eliminations, as I just said.
Mm.
So overall, what's happening on the court is not good for Russ.
No.
But, Russ is an athletic point guard who wasn't a traditional point guard in college, but he is a point guard, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just slipped from being one of the top in the league. And it's just obvious on the court. But I don't think it takes away from Russ overall as a player, because he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he has made it to a finals, and he's being compared a lot to Allen Iverson. And I kind of am starting to agree. I'm seeing a lot of parallels in their career and also in their persona. Russ is, whatever happens in the postseason with Russ and whatever happens for the rest of his career, he's an athletic point guard. As we know, athleticism diminishes. Mm-hmm. That's not you, then you have to have a skill.
Right.
And that the league is getting away from overall athleticism in general. It's becoming more of a skill and finesse game.
Three-pointers.
Which is why people are a little bit hesitant about Zion Williamson, because they want him to develop a skill, because in college he is relying on his athleticism,
right,
which only works for a certain amount of time. You can have success, but not sustained success, because that's going to diminish over time, as we know. But to me, Russ is still important to the culture. Russ's defiance, he's the villain, and I don't know if this speaks to what's wrong with me, but I root for the bad guy. I need a strong villain.
Yeah.
If you can say whatever you want, the reason why the Batman series are good is because the villains are awesome.
Big facts.
Let me know when I lie.
No. Yeah.
You have to have different characters and different storylines, and they can't all be great guy on the great teammate, and we all just get along
Steph
and love
Curry,
each other,
baby,
and we make
out
all of our shots, and we do little dances after we make our shots from half court. We can't all be the same, okay?
Right.
There's no two people alike, therefore there's not going to be any two athletes alike.
Yeah.
There's going to be similarities. Kobe Bryant was compared to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kobe Bryant is anything like Michael Jordan.
Did
they have similar playing styles? Sure. But Kobe is very much Kobe, and MJ is MJ.
Yes.
Okay? At the
yes.
end of the day, those two are different for many, many reasons we mm-hmm. don't even have to start listing. Okay? Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. He's defiant. He's unapologetic. He wears crazy outfits to games. He kind of started that whole thing.
Yeah.
He gets into it with fans. He doesn't want to answer Barry Trammell's questions. He has his own identity within the culture,
right.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
The more you talk aside from getting into it with the fans, the more I see the similarities between him and he and Allen Iverson. Like a guy who's important to the culture, changed the dress code in a weird way.
Fundamentally.
Definitely all to himself and a lot of a stat guy, but Allen Iverson found his best season when Larry Brown came in, and I say that to say a lot of the problems with Russell Westbrook and how he's a player right now is OKC's fault and the Thunder's fault and how they've put that whole team together. Because right now, an all-star in Paul George isn't even showing up in the playoffs. And Paul George being called Playoff P is one of the biggest jokes / reverse curse things ever in the NBA. Because what does he do in the playoffs?
Thank you for that wonderful transition, okay. Brandon. Yes. Because I do think that another element to this situation with Russell Westbrook that is getting completely overlooked is the Oklahoma City front office and Billy Donovan, for that matter, are just never mentioned in this entire concoction. Right. Like they got Paul George, mm-hmm. which is great. Okay. Does this all fit? Is it working? When you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, are they built to beat the Warriors, the best team in the Western Conference that they're in? No, mm-mm. not really. Mm-mm. You also chose Russell Westbrook over Kevin Durant and over James Harden. You had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, all on your team in Oklahoma City. And you squandered it. Yeah. You chose Russell Westbrook over Kevin Durant. That's clear. That's clearly the reason why Kevin Durant left. Because all this talk about, like, you know, he just wanted to go play with a winner. I don't think he did. I think there was clearly a division between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
There's a style of basketball that he wanted to play that Russell Westbrook is incapable of playing, clearly.
No, I think that Russell would be capable of playing the style of basketball that would translate to winning in Oklahoma City if when he had come into the league there was an established voice that would guide him that he respected. He's not just some maniac. Mm-hmm. He has been enabled to have this kind of control over the organization, which, I mean, you give that kind of power to most people, 99% of people are going to do what they want with it. That's LeBron has. Yeah. It just so happens that LeBron's the best player in the NBA for the past 15 years. So he's been able to push that in the right direction. And even he still needed help. And he still needed Pat Riley to sit there and be like, no, this is what we're going to do in order to get rings.
Well, Russell Westbrook has proven that he doesn't take anyone's advice.
But and I'm saying, why would he at this point? He's not going to change at this point. And who created that situation? Oklahoma City.
After getting bounced out in the first round, you think some changes would happen.
You don't have James Harden. So they couldn't sign James Harden. Mm-hmm. So they traded him for Jeremy Lamb and Kevin Martin and some draft picks that turned into Steven Adams.
They weren't going to give him max money.
Yo, Kevin Martin got buckets, though.
Okay. I believe you. Those two names scored.
They traded
baskets.
Reggie Jackson and Kendrick Perkins for Enes Kanter, Steve Novak, DJ Augustine, and Kyle Singler.
Reggie Jackson's good, too.
Pistons.
Yeah. They traded Ibaka for Victor Oladipo, Sabonis, and Iva Slova. And they traded Oladipo and Sabonis for Paul George, which would be a good trade, except for it's not translating into any winning.
Yeah.
So they have not put together a team, and they have lost great players. Like, I don't think it should go unmentioned that what Sam Presti and Billy Donovan have done there. Not that it's been a disaster. Like, they are competitive.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is not all Russell Westbrook.
No, Russell Westbrook arguably has been so good, and the winning has come from him being so good, that it has shadowed and covered up a lot of these terrible front office moves.
I mean...
Since OKC's been OKC.
Right. All right, what's next?
The Celtics and the Bucks did the right thing and swept their opponents, while the Sixers, the Raptors, and the Trailblazers look to win their first round playoff matches tonight. I'll put my Miss Cleo hat on and say, Joy, the Bucks-Celtics series will have more games than the Eastern Conference Finals. Win it or quit it.
That's interesting. I wasn't expecting that question.
Talking about the games.
No, I'm going to quit it. I think the Eastern Conference Finals go 7 also, and I think the Bucks and Celtics go 7.
Okay.
So, Wait, am I quitting it? So it's more because it's even? I don't know. The point is, it's a push. Yeah. I'm very excited for Bucks and Celtics. Yes. I think Sixers-Raptors is going to be really fun, too.
Yeah.
But
it's more exciting because of the drama. Weird
Bucks
players.
The Bucks and Celtics, man, like, it's all this talk about ignoring Milwaukee all season long. And, I mean, they sweep the Pistons, which, like, whatever. That was a bore fest. We all know that. Like, which, that's good. Okay, sorry about that. We're moving on.
No, sure.
We're moving on. No. The Celtics have everyone this year. Mm-hmm. So this is a big test for Brad Stevens because it's like you have everybody here. He's supposed to be like the whiz kid of the NBA. Yep. Like, you need to beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
You need to. This is nothing less than a failure if the Celtics get knocked in the second round. I don't want to hear it because the Bucks have been ignored all season long, and Giannis has a good team around him, and they should be able to match up with them and take them down.
So you think the pressure is more on the Celtics?
100% it's more on the Celtics. 100%. If Milwaukee gets knocked in the second round, it might be like, yeah, maybe Giannis can't really carry a team, but are people really going to bang on Giannis? No, they're not. The pressure is 100% on the Celtics, and that's why I find this series to be fascinating. I can't wait for it.
But if they lose to the Bucks, that's losing to the best regular season team and a team that has put up all kinds of statistics of the greatest point differential in a sweep, beating the Pistons just now. Like, that's a real team.
Uh-huh.
And still,
that's been completely ignored and completely undervalued all season long. The Celtics have Kyrie and Brad Stevens.
Gordon Hayward,
it's Boston. I'm telling you, all of the pressure is on Boston. If they don't make this happen, it's going to be a big, big deal. I'm really excited for it. And we have Warriors-Rockets in the second round.
Again.
The second round's likely going to be better than the conference finals.
Yeah. Like you said on the Herd, more basketball, more good basketball. So obviously it's going to be – yeah, because I was looking at the second round last year. There was no interesting games outside of the Rockets-Warriors in the second round last year.
Right. No, it's definitely going to be really exciting. And the Warriors-Rockets is going to go 7 as well. Hopefully everybody just remains healthy so we can get through that. Why are you looking like that?
Well, Boogie's already hurt, but I got you.
Everyone else.
Who's left? I feel you.
Yeah. I'm mostly talking about the Rockets. I'm not even talking about the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested in seeing Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons figure it out versus Kawhi Leonard, who called him Michael Jordan?
Kendrick Perkins
likened Kawhi Leonard to
Jordan-like.
Jordan-esque.
Hands,
you know.
Gets to his spot.
I've never heard that comparison before.
It's not bad.
I don't like anyone being compared to Michael Jordan.
Okay.
You know
so
that, but...
I am interested in that series as well. Obviously, I think that the Raptors are gonna make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I actually think they're going to make it to the Finals.
Spurs-Blazers is like a toss-up the entire time the Spurs come out.
We're just giving to the Spurs?
I mean, game by game. Spurs-Nuggets, who cares? I mean, that's what we're all thinking.
It would be interesting if there weren't a bunch of other interesting stuff.
All of us down. I actually think it's more interesting if the Spurs win. It's definitely more interesting.
Cool.
Obviously, we know it's pretty much going to be the Blazers. So I'm rooting for the Blazers because I don't think that they're getting the credit that they deserve. Yeah. I really actually think going into that series, everyone was like kind of feeling like it was going to be more competitive than it's turning out to be.
Or OKC just wins.
It's time we just admit that the Blazers are a way better team than the Thunder. Like, everyone's putting this on Russell Westbrook being terrible. Like, Blazers actually have a really, really good team. Yeah. CJ McCollum's been awesome.
Yeah.
Enes Kanter's been huge for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually just have a better team.
Yeah. Former Thunder player.
Whoopsies.
Blood in the water.
Some things. Hear ye, hear ye. Odell's petty. Mm. He would like some props from the New York Football Giants, and he's not getting it. Stop making noise. And the people on Twitter, which is a dangerous place,
are
talking bad about him. He's responding. And he wants to make one thing clear, is that he wants to win. One fan labeled him a locker room cancer, which is very mean.
Yes.
And Odell responded, "Ask any one of my teammates who I was as a teammate and a man and a person. Yes, I am a cancer to a place that's okay with losing because I want to win that bad. You're absolutely correct." Now, Odell's interactive with fans, so I'm fine with that. You can choose to, read mentions or not.
Right.
But... I do think that Odell is going to have he clearly does have an issue with the way that the Giants handled everything.
Yeah.
There's been some talks about him, not necessarily being happy with the trade.
Right.
But I think it's more of the pride thing in the trade. Like, obviously, New York over Cleveland. New York.
Every day of the week.
But maybe not so much football wise, but that's kind of hard to grasp around mm-hmm. when you're not playing football right now. So right. I can see where he would have some sort of, you know, negative emotions towards the whole situation, mm-hmm. the way that the Giants exited him. However, very soon he's going to see that is the best thing that ever happened to his career, because I really think he's going to have a huge year this year. And whether it's Amen. With the Browns or not, and the Giants are a disaster. Like, as we talked about, they're still sticking with Eli Manning. Like, nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. And I think a lot of what went on with Odell and the Giants was unfortunate for Odell. Like, he kind of got painted into this not team guy and a right. diva. And, you know, he did his share of things to participate in
theatrics.
That. Sure. But you need that. And it yeah. really should have been embraced and encouraged in a positive way, as opposed to being looked at as he's a problem or he's the culture problem. No. The culture problem is you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the culture problem. Mm-hmm. So I
get it.
It
kept me watching
it.
Giants games all season long. Outside of Saquon, like, you watch because you don't want to catch that Odell highlight at the end. You right. want to see it live.
Right.
It's a big difference.
No, he was huge for that team and huge for their brands, and they're going to take a hit this year with him not being there. But overall, he's in the right place that he needs to be in, and I'm excited about the Browns this year. I do understand where he's coming from in that he like wants some props from the Giants,
right.
but sometimes you're just not going to get that. So the best, you know, best revenge is the win.
Woo!
It's time for High Key Loki.
All right, High Key Loki. High Key.
I don't know. Loki. Just get into it. We'll get it.
High Key. Shaq has a big podcast.
He does.
Low-key, he's making suggestions for the Lakers on it that I do not approve of. We love Shaq. Everybody does.
Yes.
But he thinks that the Lakers should be going after Kobe or Jerry West. I don't know what the Lakers are doing. Okay, I don't understand. Here's my thing on franchises and doing... What's wrong with your microphone? Everything
it's
all right?
making noise. I just...
Just don't touch it.
Go ahead, we're good.
When you're building your franchise,
yes.
okay, when you're building a culture, when you're building an environment that grows winning... Right?
Yes.
My grandmother had a beautiful garden. Right? Mm. Beautiful garden.
Fun fact for Joy. Another fun fact
yeah.
for Joy.
Green thumb.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Grandma Violet. She loved flowers, okay? And plants and all kinds of things that grow out of the ground. I can't keep a succulent alive, all right? But
that one doesn't require a lot of water.
Any good gardener
guys.
Will tell you
yeah.
that it all starts with the soil.
Mm.
Okay? It's all about the foundation.
The root.
All right, that's how you build things that are successful. I don't know why I'm using country accent right
now.
But it just sounds
now,
like I'll be giving a speech.
Like
that,
George H.
That,
Bush.
You know, a bunch of young men will be listening to.
Okay.
The point is, yeah. you put the seed in the ground mm-hmm. and you give it the soil and the water, and then it grows. Okay. So what's the foundation
Allegedly.
Here for any? Well, you don't do it the opposite way. You don't put the grown plant upside down into the ground.
Yeah.
All right. The point is. If you want a successful franchise or a successful business or a successful relationship or a successful friendship, okay, or
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
all right, you have to start with the foundation. And that's not the players. That's not the building, okay? It's not the color of your jerseys.
Okay.
It's the ownership and the front office. The people that make all the decisions for everyone else, they have to be solid. So build that first. They're hiring the coach at first.
But what did Shaq say?
And they're talking about like Kobe is not the answer. All right. First of all, Kobe is not doing
okay.
this. All right. The Golden Mamba is untouchable. He is not going to see what just happened to Magic and then be like, I'm going to go and take that same path. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I very much believe that Kobe likes being in the background, whatever dealings on he has with the Lakers go
right.
through Pelinka. Okay. You just saw that keeping it in house. Luke Walton and Magic did not work. So why are we going to do the same thing? Dig up the old dirt and start something new. Stop keeping it in the family. Like, you need to bring in people that have experience and a long resume of success building a successful franchise from the top. Okay? Stop running this mom and pop operation. Build it up. Get rid of everything else and build it up. And your seed, you've already got it. It's this amazing bean.
Okay.
Put it in the ground. LeBron James. Boom.
Okay, but what
championship
is
tree.
I don't know if we've said this yet. What is Shaq suggesting?
Shaq said the Lakers should be going after Kobe or Jerry West.
That's not, I mean. Jerry West is a great idea. Because he's right
Jerry
across
West
the street.
Is 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry West's son is in the organization. If you're trying to not do any more of the inside Lakers stuff.
Okay.
Okay. That's not the move to do. And I'm right. not saying that Jerry West wouldn't be good at that job. I'm just saying long term, Jerry West is not the answer. So what is it that you're trying to do? Because you're interviewing Jason Kidd. He was just interviewed by Kurt Rambis and Rob Pelinka.
Kurt Rambis is new, though. He's not affiliated with the Lakers at all.
He played for them.
Exactly. You're talking about Monty Williams, okay? So you're bringing in outside things, right, for the head coach, because for some reason, Ty Lue, who has a championship, who has a relationship with LeBron James, who is the most important factor in all of this, although everyone's completely lost their mind and forgot that. So what is it that you're doing? There's absolutely no direction. There's no direction whatsoever with the Lakers. I understand what Shaq is saying, but Kobe's not taking that job, so that's a no-go. And yeah. I don't think that Jerry West is the long-term answer in that situation either. Build it from the bottom. Like figure out what do all these other organizations around the league do that makes them successful? The Lakers have a long storied history of success. How is it all this chaos? All right. So high key, Klay Thompson is a genius. And low-key, no thanks on his moves. So for the first three games of the playoffs, Klay Thompson was 4 of 12 from 3. It's very unlike Klay.
Yes.
And so he had to return to the source of his power, which is, of course, the water. He said, Jonas and I went to the beach and played some volleyball. Okay, I just want to pause real quick. Why are you playing beach volleyball in the middle of your playoff run? Could you imagine that headline? Klay Thompson twists his ankle, out for the rest of the playoffs, playing beach volleyball.
I don't know of a lot of people that have sustained injuries via beach volleyball, aside from
us
standing on hot-ass sand for multiple hours.
I've seen you dive sideways through the air and miss a ball.
I'm just saying, I don't know if this one of those high-impact things to do that will affect you. And also, Klay Thompson, I imagine, has a lot of time on his hands.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
So Jonas and I went to the beach and played some volleyball. And I'm like, yo, I'm just going to jump in the ocean. And I just know that will reset my mind. And it worked. And I think it's genius because the ocean and the bay is cold as fuck.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Pacific Ocean in general.
I think this was in L.A.
Ooh, well, either way.
He's playing Clippers.
It's also
Pacific
cold.
Ocean. It's very cold.
I've never been in the water here.
It is refreshing.
You got to reset
cleansing.
Your mind.
Yeah,
you got to go reset your mind.
My mind's fine. Reset, Joy.
Joy.
I like
Joy.
My mind just...
Put a shower cap on and go reset.
Yeah. Hey, what does that have to do with my hair?
I'm just saying. I'm looking at your hair. I'm just saying.
Keep it that way. Put a cap on. You'll feel fresh as new.
First of all, it's a swimming cap that I would wear.
What I said?
A shower cap in the ocean is not going to do me any favors, okay?
I don't know.
It's just going to slide off my head and there'll be more plastic in the ocean than there already is.
You're not to put your head under it.
Yeah, I'm not getting in the water. Out here is freezing.
You should do that. We should
That's
all
the
do
entire
it,
points.
Fact, we should
anyway,
all do
he scored 42 points combined in the first three games and scored 32 in game 4. And we should not all do that because I'm not doing that. I'm not getting in the water. It just looks like there's sharks in there.
Not where the dipping part is. Just What's lay down. Go shallow and lay down.
It's cold. There's nothing enjoyable about cold water. What are we in prison?
If we go back to the beach on one of those hot days like y'all pick for the beach day, I'm sure that water feels just fine.
I did not touch the water that day.
I know it was too far away. It would burn your feet off
it's
trying to get
so
there.
So far.
It is far. That's a lot of sand.
There's so much sand
it's
here.
It's a lot of sand.
It's very different. I like Miami water. It's nice and warm. Okay. You can sit in all day.
Because you know people in it. You just smell the people. You smell the people in the water.
There are a lot of people in that water though. Mm-mm. But I would prefer. This is a very rare occasion where I prefer people over animals, and that's one of them because there's definitely sharks in the water out here. It just looks treacherous. I can't see right there. I can't see what's in the water right there. It's right there. It's 2 feet away. Right there, I can't see it.
That's why you gotta be quick. Get in there, get out, dip it in, come back out.
No, thank you. Anyway, it worked for Clay. Yeah, all right, finally, Clay. Avengers Week is here.
Woo! The end game. Avengers, end game.
Yeah.
Are you watching here?
What do you mean by watching here? Where?
Are you gonna? Oh, I'm sorry. Go
ahead. At work?
Finish your thing. No, finish your thing.
I cut you off.
You got to do the high key, low key. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, the answer is no.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's also draft week.
Yes.
Draft week!
Yay! The draft games.
Meat and potatoes. So we're going to do a Marvel draft.
Woo!
All right. This is how it works. Let's get our game faces on. All right. We're in the draft room.
Okay.
Do you have your notes? Do you have these?
I have the notes, but I also want to say this is riddled with movie character Marvel people. Just want to throw it out there.
What do you mean?
This is movie kids. A lot of movie character Marvel. And there's a lot of them there. I'm just saying. I don't see like Gambit. You know what I'm saying? Squad, New Orleans native. know what I'm saying? But you live in the Marvel movie world, so let's do this.
No. Listen, what? First of all, these are all Marvel characters.
I know they are.
And you and Heller chose not to participate in the note getting.
I looked at it. I saw whatever
characters you have is what you're going to get.
I got you.
So that's fine. All right, this is how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. All right, don't cheat. No prep.
I'm looking at the thing.
You get five characters. Okay. All right, you get three heroes, two villains.
Three heroes, two villains.
I would prefer three villains.
Yeah.
We're going to do paper, rock, scissors. Okay. See who goes first. Yes. 10 seconds on the clock.
Don't do that.
That's how you say it. It's paper, rock, scissors.
Paper, rock, scissors. Not rock, paper, scissors.
It's paper, rock, scissors. Just stop it.
And Rosham, who?
Okay. All right, ready? Paper, rock, scissors. Wait. Hold on. I got to get my Zen right.
Start the clock now?
No. We got to decide who goes first.
I got to think about what you're going to do.
I know.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, I got it. All right. Paper, rock, scissors, shoot.
Boom! Defeated!
She knew that I thought.
I've never lost!
I knew she thought.
I've never lost the game in my life!
No, she thought. She knew. Listen.
For those.
She knew that I thought she would put the rock because she was going to come heavy with the rock. So I went the paper.
For those
I should have known that she was on top of that and then went with the rock
never
myself.
Never had a chance. Yeah,
for those listening to this podcast, Joy won with scissors over paper because scissors cut paper. Go ahead. Continue.
Yes. I've never lost. Never lost a game.
Okay, you won though. Go first.
I'm serious though. It's very important for life. I've never lost a game.
You never lost a game in paper, rock, scissors?
Never.
Series. You've lost series.
Undefeated.
And you're going to be honest with me. You're the first person I lost to in paper, rock, scissors. If we're being completely honest,
never lost.
That never happens. I don't know what to do right now.
Never lost.
I'm tired of this. I'm already over this game.
All right, ready? Who got the clock?
So mad. I can't believe I lost.
What, 10 seconds?
She threw out scissors. I knew she was going to throw. And then,
You know anything, because I always know.
Okay,
right,
so
ready?
You're taking first pick.
Yes.
The clock, the 10-second clock, that's correct?
Yes.
Starts now.
Okay. Obviously. All right, Captain Marvel. All right, ready? You're on the clock. Go.
Ready, go.
Thor.
All right.
Ready, go.
Black Panther. Hello. Go.
Clock's on you, B.
Oh, shoot. I was supposed to do a villain.
Honestly, Wolverine.
We got the two villains in a row now.
I did Wolverine. I did Wolverine.
Three,
you said it.
Two, okay.
Wolverine?
Yeah, Wolverine.
All right.
Clock's on you.
Okay, I need a villain. Oh, my God.
Five, four, three.
Magneto.
Neato.
Magneto, Joy. You're going to get me mad already. Thanos. What you doing?
Yes. I mean, he's so obviously going to get defeated. All right. Another villain.
This is so. Do, two villains in a row, right?
Yes. I'm going.
Three, two, one.
Killmonger.
This is embarrassing. I'm the juggernaut. Easy.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, you got
juggernaut.
It.
Juggernaut.
Okay. All right. Last hero. 10 seconds.
Last hero. All right.
Three, two, one.
Iron Man. Go.
Brandon.
I'm not going to flex their real name, but Storm.
What's her real name? You got 5 seconds left.
Princess or a queen or a something.
Yeah, you weren't flexing anything.
Damn, weird flex, but nah.
All right, let's read back. I
said I wasn't gonna flex. Why y'all make me flex? I was trying not to flex.
All right, nope. So my squad is deep and also respects the culture.
Oh my gosh.
I've got Captain Marvel, so I win. Black Panther, Iron Man, Killmonger, and Magneto.
Well, let me collect my things. Actually, I know. All right, Thor, Wolverine, the Juggernaut, Thanos, and Storm is, like, honestly, just a what a force to be reckoned with.
No, I win. 100% win. All right, so we're going to put this all together and let you guys vote on it. But
yeah, let me get you. What you.
Obviously, I win.
This is you have Killmonger on it. He is American. Most of mine are aliens from Africa.
What have we ever lost at?
Okay.
Lose the power rankings. Lose
the power rankings. These are the news of the week.
All right, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has got his bow tie in a bunch over Westbrook's media approach of saying next question to Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. So if you haven't seen, Russell Westbrook has no interest in answering Barry Trammell's questions, no matter what they are, how elaborate, how short, how long, how in-depth, doesn't matter. He is going to say next question. It actually has started a long time ago. It started in 2015. He was avoiding his questions, and he told him he just doesn't like him. And then in 2017, he told Stephen Adams, hold up. And then he's now doing next question. So this is not a new thing. So everyone thinks this is like complainy attitude, Russ. This has been a thing.
Because they're losing.
Maybe. Right. This doesn't there's no active reason why he doesn't like Barry Chamwell. At least not publicly has been admitted. So some people feel like he just created this beef. I imagine Barry Chamwell did something to upset him.
Like he, I think he was the editor of the Mr. Unreliable.
Why would he
headline.
Care about that, though?
That's why it's so weird. It was literally, that was the beginning of him disliking this Barry Chamwell guy, was from the Kevin Durant headline.
Right. Well, yeah, but I don't think that that's the reason why now, because Kevin Durant's not there. Mm-hmm. However, Steve Kerr took objection to this. He said, I don't think it's a healthy dynamic. We have to be very careful as a league. We're in a good place right now, very popular. Fans love the game, social dynamic, the fashion. But more than anything, they love the connection they feel to the players. You've got to feed information to the fans. It's dangerous when you go down the path of no communication. And I hadn't thought of it until just now, but I think I'll add this to my opinion about it. First of all, I completely disagree. This is Russell Westbrook. This is all Russell Westbrook's personality. Right. Okay, he's clearly been doing this for years, mm-hmm. so ain't nothing new about it. Now, people are getting very upset because Paul George also said, next question, so it's like, oh, he's affecting other players. Right. Soon the entire league will stop talking to the media. We'll all lose our jobs and the world will end. Everything's going to be fine. And I know people are surprised because I'm in the media, but I don't defend the media. Mm-hmm. Because we're nerds, and the sooner you admit that, the better everything's going to be for everybody, yeah. Okay? We are not important. We are the vessel of information mm-hmm. from one person to another.
Yep.
We are paid to cover people at the highest level of athletic competition, 1% in the world. So just relax on the whole thing. So he's still talking to the media. He's just not answering Barry Trammell's questions.
Right.
Because he chooses not to. He's still doing media appearances mm-hmm. and all of his obligations. He's just not answering his questions. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think like saying it's dangerous is a little melodramatic. But
fair.
I think Steve Kerr should probably also pay attention to the fact that Kevin Durant has had quite a few little tussles with the media this year. One or two.
Yeah.
Which I also have no problem with.
But he's been extra transparent. And then gotten up out of there. He hasn't withheld anything.
Yes. But he's certainly gotten into it with the media.
Yeah.
And I don't have any problem with it because Kevin Durant cannot talk about his impending free agency. So I don't even know why he continues to be asked about it. He can't say anything. If he says anything, that's going to be the entire focus of the postseason. It'll completely take away from the championship run.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't say anything, then he's not being cooperative with the media. He can't win. So I don't care what he says to the media because it's obnoxious. He can't say anything. So he should never even be asked the question. It's stupid. So I'm on KD's side, just as I'm on Westbrook's side in this situation. But I would like for everyone, while they're being so bothered by Russell Westbrook's lack of answering questions to a media member, being rude or saying, you know, abrupt things, to keep that same energy for Greg Popovich.
Mm. You going to bring up Pop in this?
I mean, look, I have a lot of respect for Popovich. He's the winningest coach in NBA history. He's a legend and he's woke. And who doesn't love Pop? But let's not pretend like Pop isn't notorious for his interactions with reporters.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you have 30 seconds, maybe, tops, to ask him a halftime question or a mid-game question. It's not going to be some enlightenment session with the Dalai Lama. Like, you have a quick question, you get a quick answer. It's always difficult. He's notorious for it. I don't have any problem with it because it's become a thing.
Right.
But why is that okay and just accepted? And then when Russell Westbrook is consistent with his not answering a question, it's the end of the world. Just keep the same energy all around. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Pop has championships, though. But I figure.
So you can just be, when you're an elitist, you can get away with something?
People are on the same side as you. I feel that.
Popovich has never averaged a triple-double.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, Russell Westbrook's single-handedly killing the triple-double, but that's another story.
Maybe, but all I'm saying is just keep the same energy all around. I don't have a problem with Popovich is doing. I don't have a problem with Westbrook. I don't have a problem with Kevin Durant. I keep the same energy. I'm about consistency. Okay, because it keeps it real. That's all I'm saying. All right, next on the Lizard Power Ranking is fat shaming.
Woo!
We are not into fat shaming around here. Although I did fat shame Ryan Fitzpatrick the other day. However,
right. He
admitted he was fat, so it's different.
And I'm not completely out on it. Motivation is motivation, but continue.
Okay, here's what I'm really talking about. Ryan Fitzpatrick was featured all over the internet in this ridiculous picture where he did not look like he was in shape.
Not Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ezekiel Elliott.
No. I'm talking about last week.
Oh, okay.
Ryan Fitzpatrick admitted he's been eating a lot of birthday cake.
Yes.
Which is just so unacceptable on so many levels. just completely disrespect. It's total disrespect to the game. Okay, like there's not that much. There's not that much good birthday cake in the world. Okay, I've eaten a lot of birthday cake. It's really not that serious.
Don't do it because the problem with eating the birthday cake is you have to eat the birthday cake to be nice to the birthday you're at.
I am aware of the etiquette of eating birthday cake.
That's why you have to eat it.
Ask for a small piece. Be that person.
They don't. Okay. That's fair.
I'm that person.
I've asked for a small piece before. They give me, you know me, they walk in there like, oh, you want this piece, Brandon?
Oh, my God. I hate that. Why do they do that? It's like they give you this overflowing plate of cake. Like, oh, thank you.
Why you?
Of course I wanted.
Trying to kill me?
I wanted an entire birthday cake to eat today for lunch.
I wanted a sheet and a plate.
It's my dream. It's my 2-year-old dream come true. Thank you.
Anyway,
he's an adult, okay? So yes. He can
say no.
Curb his cake eating obsession. Anyway, well, he has 7 kids, so maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. But Ezekiel Elliott was photographed, likely with a photographing machine or a phone.
Yes.
And
low angle.
It's a giant. It is low angle, and he's wearing a giant shirt. Okay. By today's standards, most people like the baby tees.
Yes.
More fitted.
Fitted. Yes.
He has chosen to throw it a little bit back, not all the way, not like 2000 back, but like more like 2006 size.
Oh, Lucy. It's like when there's a tall tee and then there's a tall tee that was long too as well, like the wide tees.
Right. It was a bit wide. Yes.
Yeah. Wide
so
tees.
Anyway, it's not a flattering picture, and no. I don't think he looks fat in it at all. It's just people are used to seeing him like running on the beach in Cabo.
Yes.
Now he had to respond by posting a picture on the scale and showing it, and he's 2 pounds over his listed weight. Of course he is, because he didn't even look that fat. I wish the internet would just calm down with this thing. And they did the same thing with Tony Romo. Tony Romo wasn't fat, okay? Tony Romo was just brittle, so he's running around with a bubble wrap thing.
He has certain shapes and he has certain creases that when it catches, it don't look good.
It was not a great picture of Tony Romo.
Yeah.
It's pretty notorious. All right, and then you want to talk about this hair braiding thing. I really
Well, yeah, this. I mean, we're talking losers. You know what I mean? I think as much as Russell Wilson won last week getting the contract, but also lost in the way he announced the contract.
We all lost.
We all... As a collective on Easter, on social media, lost when Russell Wilson passed by our feed, sitting as Sierra braided his hair, and now we gotta listen to people talk about it. That's my only problem with it, because we gotta listen to people talk about Russell. Oh, Russell Wilson has a new hairstyle. You guys wanna see him have braids in the next game? That conversation I'm done with. And then also, Russell Wilson continuing this ruse that he is something that he is not or consistently has been up until this point. I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of it. I feel like he's being funny, and Sierra's letting him go on with this little chat, this little
I just
this voice.
I just want to know what the voice is about, okay?
The Hood Exchange voice.
I just want to know what the voice is about, because it's not we've heard from Russell Wilson many times. He's done so many interviews.
Not with all his money in his pocket, I guess.
Maybe money changes you. That's got to be what it is. That's what it is. You solved it. He's been doing the customer service voice, and now he's paid, so he doesn't care anymore. So maybe this is his real voice.
Yes, instead of chewing gum.
Oh my God!
Instead of chewing gum, he's gonna have sunflower seeds in the interviews.
We solved it. Hello. Oh my God, I'm having a wonderful day. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah. So I have this incredible problem. I wonder if you could help me with it. So unfortunately, my credit card has been charged twice for the same thing, but I only got one in the mail. Is there any way we could fix that? Oh my God, Sandra, you're so lovely. You have such a beautiful voice. Okay, thank you. No problem. I will wait. Thank you. That is the voice he's been doing all the time, and now he's paid, so he can just let it out.
That was good. I mean, if y'all give me X amount of money, I'm not using articles at all anymore. I'm going to sound like Groot or anybody. Sound like a Pokemon. Brandon Newman.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm so grateful that we did the story now, because I think we figured it out.
I've got too much money to sound like y'all anymore.
All right. What's in the culture report?
Late last week, Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter released a film on Netflix called Homecoming, a documentary featuring and showcasing her historic Coachella performance last year in a completely new way, written, directed, and executive produced all by Queen Bey. Bey?
B? Bey.
B?
I know, but it's confusing because DJ Khaled said Beychella.
Beychella.
We're like, no, we're going to do Beychella.
It's Beychella.
I know. He was confusing there, too.
The film is one of 3 projects from Beyoncé exclusively coming from Netflix in a deal that will pay her around $60 million. The documentary reveals so much about the Miles Jack I'm sorry. The Mike Jack of our generation. That's what
Miles
I call
Jack.
Him. Miles Jack. You know, the Miles Jack. Yeah, it should be Miles Jack.
He's a good linebacker.
Yeah, he's great.
How did he get involved in this? A twist.
Including her post-pregnancy diet that got her ready for the performance. No bread, no carbs, no sugar, no dairy, no meat, no fish, no alcohol.
Nobody is worth that.
No fun.
She
did mention that she was very hungry.
Yes, all the time. Beyonce showcased the recipe for doing the impossible: sacrifice, determination, dedication, joy. What did you think of Beyonce's homecoming?
I thought it was the greatest performance I've ever seen in the history of time. Ooh. I can't think of a close second. Everybody else is not even playing for second. It's like it's like Beyonce and the others.
I mean,
it's Beyonce and everyone else on Earth.
4 months rehearsing for sound, four months for dancing.
We don't deserve her as a human race. We did not do enough good things in our time here on Earth to deserve Beyonce.
And she says she's not going to push herself that far. And I'm not even a person, let me say this, I'm not a person that even has like Beyonce music in my phone. Like, I'm not like I'm not a part of the beehive, but give respect when respect's due. Like, Beyonce is the best performer of our generation. Like, arguably, I mean, I might go ahead and throw her above Mike Jack, just because, like, you know what I mean?
Or Miles
Allegations,
Jack.
You know what I'm saying?
Also,
you know what I mean? Whatever it is. But Beyonce is literally the GOAT. She is a woman from Houston, Texas, and she said, if my country ass can do it, anybody can.
No, you're lying, Beyonce. They can't do it.
They can try!
Only we've seen other people try.
We
okay,
can try.
On that stage with her, okay? There is only one Beyonce. I'm saying what everyone else is afraid to say, okay? It's only one Beyonce. It was absolutely mind-blowing. If you haven't seen it, you must watch it.
Glowing.
Amazing. Everything was amazing about it. I could go on forever. In conclusion, everyone else is over here. Like, there's no one even close to it. And you have to give her credit. It's just, the thing about it is no one else could do that. It was an 8-month planning process. Nobody else would do that. That's the difference. Right? Like, that's the tiny bit that separates it, because it's everything.
Yes.
It was just crazy to watch.
The dance steps were perfect to the point where they can splice between two different weekend shows. It was like, they did that. They did all that performing on air with no sound, and they said to the point where when the band was there, it was an actual performance. It was just entertainment for the people doing the steps.
Right, exactly.
Crazy.
I loved every second of it. Yeah. And I just feel bad for anybody who has to perform this year, because it's just...
Yeah, I mean, Ariana Grande went out there, you know, rolled the ball out there, and, you know, we heard bad things.
I don't know what I heard, but it wasn't Beychella. That's what I know.
Oh, no.
There will never be anything like it ever again.
Is it Beychella?
That said, I still don't want to go to Coachella. So I'm so grateful. Like, I'm more grateful for Beyonce for putting this masterpiece on Netflix so I can walk with my couch and popcorn than actually have to be around other humans.
Yeah.
With the sweat. All right. Thanks for joining us today on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you to D'Angelo Hall, future coach of Alabama football. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe on YouTube. Maybe I'm Crazy. Follow Brandon Newman, Newman Show 99, myself,
please.
Joy Taylor Talks. Make sure that you share and like and comment. And Brandon will check the comments.
Subscribe.
I don't read it because I can't handle the negativity. You know? I'm soft, if you will.
People try to go extra hard.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I have been reading and commenting back.
Grazing.
And I have been grazing.
Mm-hmm. Clapping back a little bit.
I've been grazing. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, it's just so natural for me to focus on the clapbacks.
Yes.
It's like, I can't. You know what I mean? It's such a slippery slope.
Right. I think my biggest problem is I have nothing to say to positive feedback.
Thank you.
It doesn't do anything
my
for me.
My answer to the positive feedback, if you do give us positive feedback, which we appreciate.
Yes, please.
We're telling you now. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you. We must defeat the trolls. It's in us. Okay?
Like, it must be addressed.
It's a part of our soul.
Yes.
Anyway, so thank you for joining us this week. We will catch you next week. And make sure you subscribe, because Brandon Newman is going to have a draft update. I have just scheduled him for that. We have not discussed it, but he's going to do it Friday morning. Right?
Okay.
Is that fair? Is we not going to do that? We don't know yet.
See you there.
All right. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
My guess.
Catch you on the hill on Friday.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Ooh.